Welcome to Food and Life Freedom, the podcast that helps you heal your relationship with food and body. Today we are exploring emotional eating. So we will look at why we eat for emotional reasons, the positive role it serves in your social life and with your emotional coping, and also four tips to deal with stressful or out of control emotional eating. I'm Emma Townsend, a UK registered dietitian and a certified intuitive eating counselor. I support clients to stop stressing over food rules and to naturally eat in a way that supports their body and mind. This episode is brought to you by Reclaiming Your Food Freedom, an online course that brings you all the tools and support you need for a healthy relationship with food and body. To learn more about how you can reclaim your food freedom, just head to foodlifefreedom.com. And because we are all unique, this episode cannot offer personalized advice. So please use this as an opportunity to learn and explore. But if something does not feel right for you, then it's not meant for your unique self. And if you have any health concerns, please seek the personalized support you deserve from a registered healthcare provider. So let's dive straight into this episode on emotional eating. If you find yourself turning to food when big emotions come up, or you find yourself feeling out of control around food, perhaps in the evening or on weekends, you're not alone in your experience. Emotional eating, which is sometimes called stress eating or emotional overeating, is often the term we use for these experiences that might end up leading to, say, eating more than feels comfortable or eating foods that maybe you did not really want to eat. But emotional eating in and of itself is not actually a bad thing. Often our experiences of thinking of emotional eating as bad actually lead us to try to avoid eating for emotions or to overemphasize the role of food for nutritional purposes only. But this can then amplify and fuel an emotional eating cycle. So to learn why, let's have a look at the bigger picture. So food provides us with more than simply nutrients. So sure, our bodies need protein, carbohydrates, fats, vitamins, minerals to function at a basic level. But our bodies also need comfort, memories, culture, connection, and safety that food provides us as well. Biologically, food is supposed to serve a role in so many different parts of our lives, and it's supposed to bring about emotional responses. So imagine a birthday party without the food being a part of the celebration, or a holiday with no food memories, or a family dinner without any connection with the food. If food never came to serve an emotional purpose for us, we would never have been driven to share food in our evolutionary history or our caveman days, and then humans would not have survived to be the social beings that we are today. We have evolved as humans for food to serve an emotional purpose. Food also provides a sense of comfort and safety from the very start. So as a baby, we are not just fed in isolation. The moment to be bred or bottle fed also provides bonding with the caregiver and a feeling of safety and comfort to have our essential needs of nutrition and connection and safety being met. If food did not provide pleasure and comfort, then we would not be driven to seek food and to eat. So getting basic needs for our body often feels good, and that's what makes us be driven to do them and then keep ourselves alive. Food is shown to reduce stress and to provide comfort. So on brain scans, it lights up the pleasure areas of our brain, just as other pleasurable activities do, such as puppies. Carbohydrate can even increase the production of serotonin, which is a hormone that stabilizes our mood and makes us feel happy. So biologically, it's no wonder that food serves a purpose during emotional moments. And sometimes when we don't know how else to find comfort from difficult emotion, food may be all that we have available or all that we know. Food might help bring a sense of safety, comfort, and pleasure. And that's pretty cool how food can provide this for us. Emotional eating can become less helpful though if it's one of our only tools we turn to when experiencing strong emotions. So in this way, it can lead to physical discomfort and bring up further difficult emotions such as guilt or shame. Likewise, if emotional eating feels disconnected in the moment, we will then miss out on the pleasure and satisfaction from the eating experience, and it may also prevent us from exploring what we really need to support our body and mind. For some of us, we may not have had the opportunity to learn other coping tools when we were growing up, and maybe food has come to serve as a main coping tool in emotional moments from an early age. Or maybe you are dealing with a difficult situation that just surpasses all your available coping tools. So now food is playing a bigger role for you. Or perhaps you are not nourishing your body with enough food regularly throughout the day. So then when you feel stressed or tired or other difficult emotion, your hunger cues are driving you toward food to meet your hunger needs before you can explore what will support your emotional needs. If emotional eating feels overwhelming for you or that it's not always supporting you, here's four steps you can take to heal from stressful emotional eating. Step number one is to nourish your body and your soul. So before diving into your emotions and coping tools, you must first check you are eating enough. Your body relies on getting regular and satisfying foods throughout the day. If you are restricting when or how much you eat, or limiting the types of foods you allow yourself, your body is very likely to crave foods, especially towards the end of the day. When we then consider that irregular or restricted eating can have direct and extreme effects on mood, such as irritability, low mood, and impaired thought processing, as well as indirect effects through things like poor sleep, reduced social connection, and a lack of headspace, it's no wonder that you may identify as an emotional eater. A lack of enough and satisfying foods makes us feel emotional, and it increases our drive toward food. Putting them together, we eat in a highly emotional state. Nourishing your biological need for energy, nutrients, and pleasure regularly throughout the day is the first step to healing from emotional eating and to have the resources to process other underlying triggers and emotions that may be contributing. So, check in. Are you trying to limit your food in the day? Are you following food rules? Connecting with your own body's internal hunger and satisfaction cues is the only way that you can know if you are eating enough. Step number two is to acknowledge how emotional eating has served you. So even if emotional eating does not feel supportive for you right now, it has served a purpose. Otherwise, you would never have started. So finding a way to soothe when emotions feel overwhelming or you have not been supported to cope with emotion is actually an act of resilience. If you did not have food to help you cope, what would you have used? So rather than allowing emotional eating experiences to trigger a cycle of guilt and shame, try adopt a compassionate approach by exploring how emotional eating has served you. What feeling or emotion has it soothed or comforted? And what, if any, underlying triggers is it numbing or stopping you from finding more supportive ways to cope? Have a go at viewing your emotional eating as an act of resilience that once served a powerful purpose in helping you through. What has it helped you to cope with? Even if now it is no longer the most supportive way of coping. And step number three is to experiment with other coping tools. So when using a tool to cope, such as food, even if it feels unsupportive, we should never start by trying to remove the coping tool. This will not make the emotions go away, but rather can fuel more difficult emotion, such as guilt for using food, and it can create an emotional eating cycle, or it may even leave you without a tool to cope at all. A more supportive approach is to explore what other coping tools you can add to the mix that may better assist you. So we can think of it as a toolbox. We generally have lots of different tools in a toolbox, as one tool cannot fix everything. So what's in your coping toolbox currently? It may have food as a coping tool. Is there anything else in there? If food is the only thing, or your toolbox is looking a little empty, it's likely you may be turning to a tool such as food that isn't always a great fit for the emotion. So we can start to explore other coping tools that may be helpful to add to the toolbox, but not taking anything away. Food will always have a place in there. So take some time to write down other types of coping tools that might be more helpful. Try to include a range of different activities, such as maybe something gentle like meditation or yoga, as well as something more intense, maybe like running or dancing, activities when you're alone, such as reading, and maybe activities that involve others, such as messaging a friend or booking a therapy session. Try some indoor activities, maybe baking, or outdoors activities such as sitting in the sun. Just really anything that helps to bring you to a calmer place can work. Keep your list of new tools handy, and when you find yourself feeling strong emotions, take a pause and allow yourself food to cope, but also allow yourself the opportunity to take some deep breaths and try a new activity from your list just to see how it feels. Importantly, this is not to stop you from using food. Food is still available, and it is not wrong or bad to still use food. Give yourself full permission to still choose food. Step number four is to bring in curiosity. So, what happens after an emotional eating moment? What thoughts do you have toward yourself? How do your actions after the emotional moment serve you? Because we receive messages about emotional eating being quote unquote bad and maybe a lack of willpower or even not normal, we can start to feel like we are broken. But we're not. And as we discussed, it is so normal to eat to soothe emotion. It can be more helpful after a stressful emotional eating moment to bring in curiosity. So curiosity over what your emotions were. Curiosity over what triggered the emotion. Is it one off or is it recurring? Is there anything deeper going on? How did food support you? Did you give yourself the opportunity to explore any other coping tool? And what might help you next time? Is there any general self-care that maybe your body needs? You don't have to know all the answers to all or even to any of these. The most important step is acknowledging that there is a reason for these experiences and you are not broken, and just giving yourself the chance to explore the experience so you can begin to make some supportive changes if that's what you need. As well as activities to help in the moment, if strong emotions are coming up often, it may be helpful to check in with the underlying trigger. So whether it's related to your self-care, so whether that's food or other self-care that your body is missing out on regularly in the day, or maybe there's an experience from your past or something going on in your current situation. If at all possible, making some space and getting some support to work through any of these deeper underlying causes of frequent hard to cope with emotion is really important too. So food is not the problem or a problem to be solved. The more we try to push away using food to feel comfort during strong emotions, the more stressful the experience will become. Food is a valid coping tool, but you deserve to eat without guilt, to find curiosity in these emotional moments, and to also focus on coping with difficult experiences rather than stressing over food. We don't want to push away emotional eating. Your body is on your side and is just trying to keep you safe. It is more supportive to seek to understand what purpose food is serving in the moment and to work with your body to provide the self-care it needs generally and during an emotional moment. If you have gotten something from this episode, hit follow to see upcoming episodes and interact with me on Instagram at food.life.freedom. To help more people eat without guilt and feel at peace in their body, leave a 5-star review and share with your community by clicking the 3-dot symbol at the bottom of the episode. For show notes and references, head to foodlifefreedom.com/podcast. And to learn how you can get personalized support with my Reclaiming Your Food Freedom program, head to foodlifefreedom.com. This is the last episode of season one. I would love to hear your thoughts. And if you have any topics you would like me to cover, please get in touch. There will be a season two coming up soon and likely a bonus episode or two in the meantime. I look forward to seeing you then.